The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 462. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I hope you're staying warm, because here in Columbus, Ohio, it is frigid. And I know I said that on the last episode, but it seems that we just can't shake loose of these freezing temps. I can't believe that by the end of the week, we're supposed to be, quote, normal, end quote, and be around 34, 35, 36 degrees. Mother Nature certainly is one fickle lady, but you know what? Enough about the weather. Let's talk about my guests who are joining me on this edition. These two gentlemen are toy makers, and one has appeared back on episode 396 in September of 2023. And I'm talking about Tim Ellis, the man behind Giant Leap Toys. He's coming back to talk about a new project. And joining us is going to be his partner in this cool collaboration, Craig Owen. He is the gentleman behind Zyka Toys. And what are they collaborating on, you might ask? Well, they're collaborating on the Eagle 1976. Now, for those of you that are sitting at home going, I don't know what that is, allow me to explain. It is a vehicle from the old science fiction show Space 1999. That television show only lasted a couple of seasons, but Mattel had put out a line of toys back in the 70s for that particular intellectual property. And Tim and Craig thought it would make a pretty cool project to work on. So we're going to talk all about the Eagle 1976. We'll even fill in the blanks a little bit on the show Space 1999. I really didn't know that much about it, so Tim had to school me and educate me on the show. The only thing I knew was that Martin Landau was in it. That's all. And it kind of was like a space exploration type of show, kind of like Star Trek, but Star Trek had already ended. And this is before Battlestar Galactica or Star Wars. So it's kind of in that sci-fi void, if you will, when it comes to that genre. But nonetheless, these guys are very, very enthusiastic about this toy project, and I can't wait to talk to them. And real quickly, I'm just going to give a quick shout out to, of course, World's Greatest Comics, because when you talk about comics or you talk about action figures, toys, collectibles, et cetera, you need to check out the store. If you're not in Central Ohio, you can check them out online, wgcomics.com. Or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. Or if you're in the area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to them. Everybody's great down at World's Greatest. And I want to thank them for their support throughout the years. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Craig and Tim talking about Space 1999 and the Eagle 1976. Ladies and gentlemen, I have two guests this evening, but they have some really cool projects to talk about. So joining me on this episode is Tim Ellis from Giant Leap Toys. Tim, how are you?
Good, John. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. And also joining us, Mr. Craig Owen from Zyka Toys.
Nice to meet you, John.
Thanks nice for having to meet me. You, and welcome to the PVD Cast. So let's start off here by talking about both of you are collaborating together on a particular project. And before we get into that, let's talk about why you have started your own companies. Tim, would you like to go first?
Sure. I'd always kind of been a toy collector since college. When I got out and got a little extra money in my pocket, I went back and started picking up some old toys from childhood. And so that just kind of ignited an interest in the toy business overall. My full-time gig, I'm a graphic designer and illustrator. And so in the early 2000s, I just so happened to meet an individual at a licensing show in New York where I was exhibiting. He was in the toy industry in Hong Kong, and he just kind of became a solid connection for me to start working my way into doing projects and working on kind of mid-tier toy projects. I did like train sets. I did, knockoff Lego sets. I did, I even did some updated, doll clothes and squirt guns, stuff like that, anything that came my way. So in about 2013, I decided to launch my own set of vinyl toys. And that was under my Secret Lab toy label. And, things went pretty well with that for a few years. But then, some financial hardships, and then you throw COVID in the mix, and, I wasn't able to make it out to the cons and everything like I used to. And that kind of put an end to that. And then, when Craig and I met up and started talking about this project, this was where, Giant Leap came about, just, a rebirth, a new direction for me and my toy ventures.
Okay, Craig, how did you get involved in making toys with Zika Toys?
Actually, it all kind of started with at one point I owned a collectible toy store, and a buddy of mine who was helping me with it kind of said, "Hey, it might be a cool idea to actually get into maybe making toys versus just selling them." And at first, I thought, "Well, yeah, that would be cool," but I had no idea of even how to go about doing that. So slowly but surely, I kind of started making contacts to figure things out and got into the toy making business. First, it was very small stuff, just like small custom projects, nothing very big. And then finally had the opportunity to get the Buck Rogers and the 25th Century license from the TV show. And once I got in and had that, I was able to start producing product on that. It just kind of took off from there. And I I've been sticking at it ever since. I've had definitely peaks and valleys here and there along the way, but still plugging along, and hopefully what we've got in the works now will be a success.
Well, let's talk about that project that's in the works right now. Your recent project is an Eagle 1976 spaceship from the show Space 1999. I don't know which one of you would like to describe Space 1999, but for the listeners at home who, much like me, might be aware of it, but not really, that far of a fan of it or whatnot, can you explain just a brief summary of the show?
Tim's older than me. I'll let him do it.
So, Space 1999 was a creation of Jerry Anderson. You might recognize that name from like Thunderbirds and Fireball XL5. He's had a number of different shows that he did. His first foray into live action was the show UFO, which was like around 1973 or so. And they were struggling to get it in the U.S. market where they really needed to be. So they went back and they retooled and made the Space 1999 show, bringing in Martin Landau and Barbara Bain, two fairly popular U.S. Actors, to try and bolster getting maybe some network play. They were kind of stuck in the rut of syndication, and they wanted to improve their chances. So with the addition of them, they started out with season one, and it's a bizarre concept. Nuclear waste stored on the moon explodes, knocks the moon out of Earth's orbit, and so it's a wandering planet, just kind of making its way through space. And so the adventures and the whole setup is different aliens and the different things they encounter as they're floating through the galaxy. It got pretty good airplay, but again, they felt like for season two, they needed to go back and retool. So they brought in a man who had worked on Star Trek, and season two, you'll find with the fan bases is kind of weird because they, he kind of retooled it to a point where it was almost a monster of the week kind of show. And there were a lot of stipulations that were put on it by the U.S. offices that were handling the distribution over here. There were stipulations put on it by the offices in Italy, where it had gotten a pretty good response in airplay. And it just had a hard time finding its voice in the middle of all that. But you know, looking back in you know, at the time and for what it was, there's a lot of love for, you know, what that was at the time. You know, Star Trek had been canceled. There was not that much live action science fiction happening, some Irwin Allen stuff, but not a lot of stuff that was outer space, you know, really related. And so, yeah, UFO and Space 1999 came along at a time where the sci-fi market really needed something out there. And so so they gave it a shot and, you know, got two solid seasons out of it. And it's all on YouTube and streaming. So hopefully people will be inspired enough to go check out some episodes. There's some gems. There's some fantastic, you know, stories. And others, you know, leave much to be desired. But, you know, to each his own on that regard.
So why did you select this as a project?
Well, I will let Craig answer that one.
Actually, it was my idea initially because when I was a kid, a buddy of mine had the Eagle spaceship that Mattel put out in 1976. And this was, you know, before Star Wars, before any of that stuff. So up until that point, I had never seen a toy of that scale, you know, for action figures. And so I was immediately impressed with that. Plus, also, I liked the design of the ship, even though I wasn't familiar with the TV show at all. As a matter of fact, I've yet to see an episode of Space 1999. I just kind of, you know, fell in love with the design of that ship. And how awesome that toy was as a kid, and it just always kind of stuck with me. So now that I, you know, had gotten to the point where I was actually in the toy business and making toys, I'd always kind of wanted to tackle that. And when Tim and I met up at the PowerCon convention, I threw it out there, and lo and behold, it's something that he had had interest in working on too. So he was able, through some connections on his side, to find out who held the license. And we just went from there, and here we are, finally getting this thing out, getting it produced.
PowerCon is where you two originally met and started this collaboration then, correct?
I had known Tim before, just, you know, internet stuff and everything. But yeah, we finally got to meet up, meet in person at this PowerCon, and that's kind of where everything took place.
What is the update of the status of the Eagle as of this recording?
It's currently in the tooling phase. They are working on the tooling right now,
which I assume is the first step.
Sort of, yeah. As far as, yeah, getting this, well, yeah, basically as far as getting it into production. Right.
Okay. I noticed with the Eagle that you have action figures that come with it. There's two, as a matter of fact. Right. If I could ask real quickly, what was the design process like for creating those figures as opposed to maybe the design process for the ship itself?
The action figure designs didn't take any like CAD knowledge or anything like that, which was a big difference. I had done similar figures before. These are basically like your O-ring G.I. Joe figures Hasbro, you know, put out in the 80s. So I was already pretty familiar with how the design worked, and just kind of was fortunate enough to already meet a lot of very talented sculptors who also were kind of familiar with this aesthetic, this type of design. And it was just a matter of getting with one of them and kind of laying out there what we wanted. And it was actually fairly simple. It's wasn't a lot of back and forth between designs or fixes or changes. It kind of it went along rather smooth. I was happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah, the internet proved to be a really valuable resource in that regard. You know, Anderson did have some reference materials for us, you know, but it was really good to be able to go on any website, grab, you know, photos from the show and showing different angles of the uniforms and the backpacks and everything. And yeah, Craig put together a really good design brief for the guys who did our final sculpting on it. And yeah, they're really sharp figures. I mean, the detail is very exacting for them being, you know, 3¾ inch tall. It's really a piece of art for sure.
Do you plan on doing other vehicles and other action figures in the Space 1999 series?
Well, actually, the ship, we're offering an astronaut 4-pack with the ship. So, or in addition to the ship, I should say. They don't come with them. But so there are technically, I guess, 4 more of these action figures that will be available. But yeah, we're open to the possibility of possibly doing other ships and play sets that are related to various Anderson properties, definitely.
Yeah, the O-ring figure format is perfect for this vehicle. So I think Master Replicas had done some Space 1999 figures that are just kind of the 5-point figures. You know, they don't have the full jointed knees. So they would look good with this set. But I think Craig and I's plan would be to do the O-ring figures for, you know, Koenig and all the other characters from the show, if the opportunity's there, for sure.
This is where my ignorance will come into play, because I'm not familiar. I know of the show, but I'm not familiar with it, as I mentioned before. Are there a group of villains, or as you said, Tim, that's pretty much like a new villain every week? The reason I ask that, because I can remember as a child, I picked up the A-Team action figure set, but they had no bad guys. They had like just random bad guys that I didn't connect with and never purchased them, because I'm like, I don't know who these guys are. They're not in the show, because the show was kind of like that. The A-Team would beat the bad guys, you know, in a 1 episode in 48 minutes and move on. So I guess my point is, are there plans to do some other villains as well to go along with the Koenigs and those other characters?
Those are the conversations that we've had. You know, there are the fans who really want to have the diehard, you know, they want the Alan Carter figure. They want the, you know, the Professor Bergman figure. And, you know, we're wanting to fulfill that, but I'm with you. I feel like there needs to be, you know, there needs to be some homage paid to those alien characters. So there are a couple from the first season and a handful of them from the second season that, you know, Craig and I, we haven't gotten to a deep conversation about it because the Eagle has taken up so much time. But in those moments when we're just kind of thinking down the road and what we'd like to do, absolutely a mix of the Moonbase Alpha characters and then also the alien characters.
What's the timetable for the project to be done, over with, and shipped out to those folks that have ordered one?
Well, assuming all goes smoothly, they're projecting that the product will be ready to ship by the end of July.
Okay.
I think that means, though, that that's when it will be ready to ship to us. And that will probably, from getting there to here to our warehouse, I'm guessing that will probably take 3 weeks to a month for it to actually show up. So you're probably looking at the end of August, maybe, before we would be ready to start fulfillment. But then again, that's assuming everything goes smooth, which I feel like there's going to be a hiccup maybe here and there, but that gives you, I think, a fairly good idea of when to expect it.
Can folks still purchase them, or is ordering done and over with?
No, pre-orders are still open. They'll be open for quite a while. So,
okay. So folks can find that by going to website, social media, whatnot. In fact, let's plug those outlets real quick, even though we're not done with our conversation. But Craig, where can folks keep tabs on the Space 1999 project and all the cool stuff you're doing?
Well, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and then our store site, which is where the pre-orders are, is www.zykatoys.com.
All right, Tim, how about where's some of the information at for Giant Leap?
Yep, Giant Leap Toys. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. So, yeah, check us out. I'm also looking into Blue Sky. I may be putting some stuff out on Blue Sky as well. So, yeah, you know, I think anybody who's really, you know, toying around with maybe buying one of these, you know, like Craig mentioned, we're going to have the pre-orders open for a while, and we'll give plenty of warning before we get to the point where we need to close those down. But I would suggest that they go ahead and get those orders in, because we do not plan on having any for sale after the pre-sale closes. Now, Anderson may have some in their inventory, but Craig and I are only going to have like a very small inventory to handle, you know, like damaged goods or lost goods, or, you know, somebody who may have broken theirs or something like that. So, you know, that's where we're going to be with the sale. So get it early and lock it in, because after that sale, you know, it won't be for sale in the retail market.
What would you both say is probably the biggest challenge to doing this Space 1999 project?
That's a good one.
I would probably say just trying to get people to jump on board with the scale that this thing is in, because it's a little bit over 3 feet long. And I know a lot of collectors are kind of, you know, shelf space is very limited. So considering how the size of this thing, and of course, you know, it's got a fairly high retail price on it, it's just basically trying to, you know, make this thing appealing to where people are going to jump on the bandwagon and purchase it. I mean, I wish people liked the prototype that we have on hand. I mean, it's an awesome looking ship. You know, I know I'm a little bit biased here, but it's just, you know, the scale of this thing, the detail we put in it, the figures, the way they go with it. It's very, very impressive, but it's also, you know, it's a very large piece. So it's going to be a little bit challenging to display this thing if you don't have a lot of room, but hopefully people will find a way. That's been the biggest challenge. It's just, you know, getting people on board with this.
I think I would add to that, John, is that, you know, not only is this kind of like our love for Brian Johnson's design work on Space 1999 with this incredible iconic ship that he's made, but also we just, even though Craig and I never owned one ourselves when we were younger, we both had friends who had the Mattel Eagle playset. And I mean, I'm like over at this, you know, friend's house every afternoon, just, you know, gawking at this thing, because it was at the time 2.5 feet long and was like one of the biggest toys that I had ever seen. So when Craig and I were talking about the update for this thing, you know, it was like, do we want to go exactly where, you know, Mattel had gone and do precise, you know, just kind of like a re-release, or did we want to update it for the sensibilities of the, you know, the modern collecting market? And, you know, we kind of went back and forth trying to figure it out. And then, you know, when Craig brought up, you know, let's really consider the astronaut figures as, you know, O-ring 3 3/4. Then that's where we finally decided on the scale. And this thing, like Craig said, is just over 3 feet long, and it's about, gosh, 15 inches wide, and is about 8 inches tall. And it's got, you know, it's got more detail to it than the Mattel piece had, but certainly it's not a screen accurate replica of, you know, something that they would have used in the studio or whatever. It's kind of our updated homage to, you know, to the Mattel Eagle. But to Craig's point, it's, you know, it's a beautiful piece. And, you know, I've been talking with some other people who, you know, are already talking about, you know, building wall mounts to, you know, hang it from the wall, and, you know, others want to suspend it from the ceiling and stuff like that. So there's a lot of creative thought process that's going on out there for displaying this thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing what people come up with for sure.
Well, Craig, let's switch gears and talk about a project that you, I believe, have just started or in the midst of doing. It's the Misery Machine. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
It basically starts from the fact that I'm a huge Scooby-Doo fan. the idea for it, actually, I was just looking online one day and came across some custom artwork for, basically this same type of a concept. I always thought that was a cool idea and everything, but we are kind of our partner on this is Ramen Toys and Ace, who is part of that company. You know, they just recently put out some 1/12 scale Vans. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
Okay. Well, they put out some 1/12 scale Vans. I think there is 4 different types. It's basically a variation of the same Van. And when I saw that, it kind of, a light bulb went off, and I thought, well, hey, it would be cool to maybe take that Misery Machine concept that I had saw online and apply it to this van. So contacted Ace about it. He was totally fine with it. Got Tim to do the artwork that's on it, which is phenomenal. And they did us a prototype, and right now we're taking pre-orders on it. So far, everything seems to be going really well. Fingers crossed this one gets done too.
And just so you know, John, one of those variants of the van that they did is an A-team van.
Well, Tim, you beat me to the punch with that question, because that literally was going to be the next question on my list of questions, because it looks very much like BA's van. And so I was wondering about that. I would like you guys to plug your website, social media, one more time before we get to the final question of our conversation. So let these folks know where they can follow you.
Again, I'm on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and then the store website is www.zykatoys.com.
All right, and Tim, how about you one more?
Yep, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and maybe Blue Sky coming soon.
Okay. All right. Can you guys give me, I don't know, maybe one or two favorite toys?
Wow. I don't even know if your listeners will know any of the toys.
I know yours because I had never heard of it. And when you were on last time, I'm like, oh man, but you know what? I've come to respect yours.
Yeah. He's right up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
this project kind of was near and dear to my heart too, because Craig and I've talked about this at length. There's just something in the design of that eagle that having grown up in the 60s and 70s and being a NASA baby and just following every bit of the moon landing and everything, I could just really see the eagle being a transport that we would have, eventually, that would be shuttling us from Earth to the moon and everything. So that was one of the things that really intrigued me about the Eagle. But yeah, as a kid, Major Matt Mason, again, a Mattel property, just a fantastic, kind of space fantasy, sci-fi property that they had. And, had those touches of realism to it too, that made it, just feel like, yeah, this is a thing that could really be, so yeah, I'd have to put Major Matt Mason at the very top of my list for sure. Let me think on 2 and 3 while Craig answers.
Okay. Craig, go ahead. Give us a couple, if you will.
Probably at the top of my list would probably be the Kenner Death Star playset. I loved that thing as a kid. And also, I had a lot of the G.I. Joe Adventure Team stuff, the larger G.I. Joe stuff. And they had some pretty amazing playsets and vehicles for that. I remember enjoying that quite a bit. And then probably after that, it would be the Mego superheroes I had as a kid, both the Marvel and DC characters. I had a ton of those. And of course, they had all sorts of playsets too. So it would have to be probably those three.
I have my Death Star playset in my garage.
Really?
Yes, I still have it.
I had it as a kid. Yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a lot of my Star Wars toys, He-Man and G.I. Joe toys, all in the garage. All boxed up. So one day I will put them on display when I have a bigger house. So.
Right.
Tim, was there any others you wanted to add on to?
Well, you know what? I'll just keep it easy and I'll dovetail up against what Craig said, because the adventure team, when, you know, I had hand-me-down G.I. Joes, military Joes for my older brothers and stuff, but Adventure Team was probably the property that, you know, that they launched in the early 70s, you know, like right when I was at the prime age. And I just remember that mobile command unit that you know, you could drive it around and set up your Joes and then take the cab off the front and you know, go out on adventures with that. And then, yeah, you know, I think the Mego characters were probably the go-to toy for my parents. I mean, they were super affordable. And so, you know, it was like a get a couple for your birthday, get a couple at Easter, get a couple, you know, for just getting good grades or something like that. And yeah, like Craig, I had a bunch of them. But out of that, I would probably say the Planet of the Apes figures were, you know, kind of my favorites. I mean, I love the superhero figures, but the Planet of the Apes were top notch.
All of those picks, very solid, you know, and, you know, for me, I think, I don't know if I could pick favorite toys. I'd say I'll go the Death Star playset, since we're talking about it. I'll go with that. I'll go with the Millennium Falcon, and I'll go with the G.I. Joe base. They had a command center base that had like two garages. You could put the tank in one and the Jeep in the other. And so I enjoyed that a lot. So I'll throw my three in there.
There you go.
Wasn't it Terradrome? I would have thought it would have been Terradrome.
No. I didn't have the Terradrome. Although I had a friend whose little brother had the USS flag.
Oh my gosh, that thing's bigger than the coffee table.
I know. It was the coffee table in the rec room, in the playroom. Right. Yeah, they threw a sheet over top of it, and that was it. I was envious of it, but. All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been great to sit down and chat with you about your projects. Giant Leap Toys, Zyka Toys, putting out some great stuff. So folks, follow them online. And Tim and Craig, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for having us.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Craig and Tim talking about their project, The Eagle 1976, of course, tied into that TV show of Space 1999. And I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. And if you did, please let me know. And you can do that a couple different ways. You could check me out on Twitter. I know. It's a crap show, I'm aware. But nonetheless, my personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can shoot me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. And who knows, I'll get motivated one day to get off my butt and actually get a Blue Sky account, I suppose. But anyways, there's all the ways that you can let me know what you thought about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the best place to get all of the episodes, both past and present. But you can also listen through your favorite podcasting outlet. All you have to do is go to that app or that outlet, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those podcasting outlets, if you listen through one of those like iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts, a Google Podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. You need to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. It lets the powers that be know that you're listening, and it helps me out. So if you can rate and review, that would be awesome. And, you know, you don't have to write a lot, just a simple sentence, enjoy the episode, and then 5 stars, or however many you think I deserve. But there's still one final way that you can catch every single edition of this podcast, and that is through the Facebook page, at PVDcast, where every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live Facebook broadcast that you can catch. So there you go, 3 easy ways to hear my show, PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting app or outlet, and of course, through the Facebook broadcast every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.